WVOX and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. And by the way, it's our 30th show. And because it's our 30th show, we have a very, very special guest. His name is TJ McCormick, and I'm not going to introduce him quite yet because I have my little 2-minute warm-up or 3-minute warm-up, and then I'm going to get him right into it. But he is not only a great brand, but dear friend. And I only know him for about 2 years, but it seems like I've known him all my life. And we're going to talk about that after I do my little introduction. Now, what I do want to say, in the interest of full disclosure, we were talking about our show being a call-in show. Occasionally, I have callers that I've asked to call in, and the reason for that is to give you an idea of what we can talk about here on the show, because, you know, sometimes there's what I call caller anxiety. We're going to talk about performance anxiety. I call it caller anxiety. I don't know, should I call them about that question, or should I talk about, maybe it's not relevant. Look, you call, we want you to call. I don't care what the question is, just as long as it's not political. I don't want to get into politics, even though I was in politics a little part of my life. It's just not, if we talk about politics, and we always go around on this, my producer Jonathan and I, if we're going to talk about politics, I want to talk about it from a marketing point of view. And unfortunately, TJ, what happens is that people become partisan and they don't see the marketing point that I'm making. And then I'm, and as you well know, because you are on some of the Fox News shows, what begins to happen is you'll say something and you'll get two different perceptions of what you said. Somebody, you'll say something and somebody will say, you're pro Obama or you're pro Gingrich or you're pro Romney. And it's the same thing. So you just can't, it's just incredible. So anyway, well, we may play a little bit with that since the president did make a speech. But, and I did, as I mentioned, I've been pushing my Daily Caller post on what's wrong with being boring. That got people screaming. But anyway, so we want to hear from you. That's the point. And every once in a while, I ask folks to call in with either a question that they may have. They asked me offline, and I said, well, why don't you ask that question online? And if you want to give us a call, we're here at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. You're listening to Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick. Although he hasn't said anything, he's sipping his coffee, enjoying himself, and relaxing until I do my little shtick. And then he'll be as wonderful as he always is. And I know Jonathan is saying, oh, you shouldn't be so... you guys seem like you're in love with each other. And it's the problem is you can't fake this. We are in love with one. It's the closest relationship between two guys that you can have without us being, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that. So we want to do that Seinfeld thing.
Our father son.
But you know, anyway.
Ooh,
no, you can speak. But anyway, and you can also email us here at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So one or the other. So the opener of the show is basically a follow-up on the importance of being prepared. And last week I talked about how important it is to be prepared. And yesterday I probably had the meeting of a lifetime or a career, and I was prepared. And, you know, after outlining what I was going to say at this meeting, my sister called me. And what's very interesting is the reason that TJ and I became such good friends was my sister was at the studio at the Strategy Room the day that we were on together. And my sister, who is a real lefty because she is a college professor, fell in love with TJ McCormick, who I would not describe as a lefty at all. but they immediately hit it off, and so it's so serendipitous that she had called before this meeting, and TJ is here with me in the studio. And anyway, she said to me, "Well, are you nervous about the interview?" And my response in a New York second was, "No, I was not." And I just am not nervous anymore when I go on interviews. And even when I'm on, I go on air, I am not nervous. I will say, and this is the question that give your introduction, TJ, ask you, because you are a great performer, and I had the good fortune of actually seeing you live when you did your comedy shtick, which was absolutely terrific. And we'll want to talk about what your upcoming shows are going to be in the city. Anyway, I'm just not nervous when I go on air. But I will tell you what does kick in is that I have an adrenaline rush right before you're going to go on. And it's not nervousness. It's this excitement. It's the heart pounding a little bit. And it's like, and you're here, and you know, right before you're going to go on, Neil Cavuto. You know, and they say, "Okay, Dr. Tantillo, come right this way," and you go, and you're going through the cameras, and then you're approaching Neil Cavuto's desk, and he gives you that great big, "How are you, John? Good to see you. How you been?" And he just like calms you down, but it's that few minutes, you know. And anyway, so what we're gonna do, for those of you who are going to go on an interview and you may be nervous, or you are a performer and, you know, you're just starting out, the good news is that I think it somewhat dissipates. And we're going to talk a little bit about performance anxiety and all of that. And one more time, if you would like to give us a call, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. We're at Brand Talk. You're listening to Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And so without any further ado, we're going to, I'd like to introduce my co-host, I'll say today, and dear friend, TJ McCormick, who you can hear every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio. You have seen him on Fox Business, Fox News, Fox News Live, even CNN. This guy gets around. Or you might have even seen him in New York City clubs. And he'll talk a little bit about that. And so here he is, T.J. McCormick. Welcome, T.J.
Ciao, Bella.
You music to my ears.
Good to see you.
It was great. It was great when you said that you were able to make it today.
Thanks.
And by the way, yeah. I remember as a kid, I introduced you as a comedian.
Yeah.
And I can remember sixth grade, Sister Frances Paula, and I used the word comic. He is a great comic.
Yeah.
And she circled the word and put comedian in its place. And I knew she was wrong because even back then when I was 12 years old, I had an appreciation for comedy and I loved Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
And I loved, you know, Red Skelton, Clayton Kazuma-Hopper, you know. Yes. You know, I used to love all of that. And she kind of like cracked me by doing that. So what's the difference between a comic and a comedian?
You know, it really does come down to semantics. It really is. You know, people will say, you know, a comedian versus a comic. A comic would be a slapstick guy or a stand-up comic. A comedian is maybe like a Mel Brooks or a Woody Allen, who's a writer and a director. I have a hard time making any distinction. And I mean, it was my life for 23. I mean, it's been my whole life. What am I kidding? But as you know, I kind of actually went back and forth throughout my career. I would prefer to be called a comedian for a couple of years, then I went to comic, and then, you know, all totaled, I like to think of myself as an entertainer, performer, because I took my job. I take my job so seriously that when I'm on stage, when I'm on television, even if I'm on a political panel, I'm there to be the funny one. I need to entertain at all costs. You know, what I used to do on stage as a stand-up, my gosh, I was far from just a talker. You know, I and this is beyond what you saw that night at the nightclub in Manhattan. When I would perform on large stages in large venues, be it cruise ships or in Las Vegas or Atlantic City, especially if I was playing like a big theater, a 1,500, a 2,000, a 5,000 seat theater, the bigger the room, the bigger the show that I would do. And, you know, the more, you know, so anyway, I guess I'm back to comic, you know, actually, you know where I've gotten these days? Now I'm all highfalutin. Now I refer to myself as a humorist. Who the heck do I think I am?
Okay.
All of a sudden, I'm right.
Well, we got a piece about Mark Twain today.
Yeah. Really?
So it's interesting. Did you? I bet you did not know that.
No.
You did not know that.
But you know what? I got an interesting thing for you. I got a little tidbit for you.
Let's hear it. That's what we're here
and
for. That's part of your brand.
Yes.
That's what we talk about here on Brand Talk.
Brand Talk Radio with the good doctor.
Yeah. When you can give us a call at 914-636-0110. And where are you listening to?
WVOX 1460 AM.
I can't
believe it. And around the world.
And around.
On the internet. It's all over the place.
I can't believe it.
BrandTalkRadio.com, WVOX.com. You go. You know, it's everywhere.
So
around
tell
the world.
Me about this humorous thing there, Mark Twain, McCormick.
I'm a regular, but you know, like I now I try to take myself seriously. I write opinion pieces now for Fox News Opinion.
I love it
on FoxNews.com.
And by the way, folks, when you his post. I hate the guy because his post gets even more applause than I get.
Well, so far.
No. Because you know, you're an excellent writer. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. But I go, okay. My headphones just kicked in. And I'm distracted and in love with my own voice. I tend to go for red meat when it comes to those opinion pieces, you know. So I must admit, I try to cause a traffic accident and force people to read my stuff. But anyway, you know, an interesting tidbit about performance anxiety.
Yes. Yeah. You're good.
I'm very, very, you know, it is part of my brand, actually, because, you know, there was a certain neurosis that I that I display when I'm on stage. You know, there's a certain...
What is that?
You know, just a bit of a neurotic. I'm a bit of a character, you know? And it's sort of in a bit of a Woody Allen, and more of a Gentile Woody Allen sort of neuroses,
right,
you know, a bit
right.
more of a suburban Catholic neurotic.
Yeah, well, I, you know what it is? You're self-deprecating.
Yes.
By doing that, you connect with your audience.
Yes. And I tell the truth.
Yes.
And that connection with the audience, therefore, with me, especially when it came to my connection and doing stand-up, it was sacred to me.
Right.
I was absolutely determined to make sure that that audience knew I was telling them the truth.
Right.
You know, I implored them to believe me. And because the more truth I told, the funnier it was, and the more they liked me,
right?
Which made it funnier. Anyway, here's a bit about performance anxiety. And sadly, this was at about maybe the 14th year of my career.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 1999, so it was about the 13th year of my career. 1999, I started doing stand up in 86. And I had reached a real milestone. I was performing at what was then a huge, it was on the downside of being a huge moment for comics. The Montreal Comedy Festival it's a bit of a do, but it's not what it once was. The Montreal Comedy Festival was much like a trip to Johnny Carson's couch. Doing well, you could get discovered and walk out of Montreal with what was known as a holding deal, where a network or a production company would pay you a lot of money to just not do anything while they tried to figure if they could get something for you.
Right.
You know, okay, we got here's $100,000. Wait here. We'll see if we can get a sitcom worked up for you. That kind of thing. I was there. I finally, after all these years, had gotten to the Montreal Comedy Festival. And as a 13 or 14 year veteran, I was there in the new faces. I was considered I was in the rookie show or whatever. Anyway, I'll be honest with you, and I'm always very quick to drop a dime on myself. Because of other things that tick inside of me, I just simply was more wrapped up in what could be. I was wrapped up in the past. Everything it took me to get me there, and I better do well. I can't blow it now. And the future, everything that I want, what I figure I can get out of this.
Right.
I was not in the moment.
Right.
The only thing I had in the moment was fear.
Right.
Fear of blowing everything I've done to get here, and fear of blowing everything that I could have down the road if I don't do well enough. My good buddy John Tantillo, I was backstage. Nauseous, sick, throwing up. A veteran. I had at that point done things that most comics only dream of, and I had done them. I was there. I was at Montreal Comedy Fest.
Like what were you doing?
Oh, at that point, I had already done television.
Right.
I was actually already supposed to have had my own show.
I love it.
That was an early incarnation of a relationship with Mr. Roger Ailes. That was simply anyway. I had had that. I had had television. I had had a. I had worked on cruise ships. I had done many, many things, radio, and hundreds of nightclub performances. And I was the one person in the whole room who didn't believe in myself. There were television execs. Quincy Jones was in the room.
Oh, my God.
Who owns a production company. And there were people all around that room that I had met with in Los Angeles prior, because my agents took me around and had me introduced to all these bigwigs. Because they would then anticipate seeing my performance. I was getting thumbs ups of encouragement from vice presidents of Fox and NBC and this and that and the other and Warner Brothers. And I took that, John, not as they believe in me, a show of support. Give me one good reason to give you $1 million, which is what they all meant.
Mm-hmm.
I took it as don't blow it.
Right.
Don't blow it. Pressure. And I'll be honest with you, John. I went out there and I blew it. I blew it. I did.
What do you mean by blow it?
I bombed.
What does that mean?
I went out there with nervous energy. I went out there absolutely. Well, I went out. It's not a breakfast show. So I went out there with literally with the taste of having been sick in my mouth, which is, okay. I went out there at an all-time low in terms of believing in myself.
Right.
John, this later came to fruition. I talk about this on television. I talk about it on my radio show. I'm a recovered alcoholic. This is something that I came to understand. This part of me is something I came to understand years later once I became a drinker and walked away from it by the grace of God. Anyway, I went out there and was talking a mile a minute. I was racing through my act.
Right.
No eye contact.
Right.
With the audience, which is a hallmark of mine. A trademark
sure.
is
sure.
talking to the people, not at them.
Sure.
I raced through my material. Didn't wait for, well, the laughs never came. Literally at one point, John, I was very emphatic. I was very, very physical. And I would always hold the microphone with my left hand, and I was always gesticulating with my right hand. And I was very, very physical. And at one point, there was always a point where I'm on a particular line. I'll never forget this. Sadly, I'll never forget this, the image. There's one point where I would hold my physical position while waiting for a laugh that would always come, except this night.
Right.
And I stood there, and I would hold this position in sort of a freeze frame type of thing. And I remember seeing out of the corner of my eye, my right hand was literally shaking like I had a condition. I mean, shaking. Mm-hmm. It was downhill. It was awful. And, you know, I blew it. And you know what? Unfortunately, that wasn't the last time. But again, it's something that I later learned was a lot more deep and a lot more, buried for a lot of other reasons. And thank God, you know, because at least it wasn't I just blew it. Thank God there were things about me and within me.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me a better everything today, though, that journey I went on later. But interesting now, just to bring it full circle here. A couple of years later, I was working. Actually, no, excuse me. Might have been that later that summer. I was working with Dana Carvey, the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Loved him. What a brand.
Church lady. Oh my God, I was doing
church lady.
I toured with him. I played Vegas. I was playing the West Point Theater, the theater at West Point, Eisenhower Theater at West Point, the largest stage outside of Radio City Music Hall in the country. And I was pacing back and forth, something I always did.
Mm-hmm.
George Carlin, famous for being a pacer.
Oh,
very famous.
I did not know that.
George Carlin, famous for being looking over his material and back and forth, pacing, going over his words constantly. I'm pacing in a healthy, nervous way. I wasn't having a Montreal Comedy Festival night. I was just going on, you know, to open for the big guy, for Dana Carvey that night. And two of the cadets working, there were two cadets there backstage, my welcoming committee, and two people from the theater group. And the two people who ran the theater told me, they said, wow, a couple of years ago, George Burns was in exactly the same spot that you were walking back. You're walking the exact same path that George Burns was walking. George Burns, he was 90-something years old at the time. He had been in show business. Mm-hmm. He was 90. He had been in show business for 150 years. And here he was doing the same back and forth. And what they said was they said that every time he would make a turn, every other turn, he would flick his ash in the same spot of his cigar. And they said that they did their best to not sweep up those ashes for days and days and days. But anyway, nervous energy, adrenaline, and a healthy fear of failure, I think, are all okay. You know, there are rational fears.
Yeah.
But there's irrational fears. And you know what? And again, you know, some people say, you know, there's a saying, and I'll clean it up for the air. You know, if you live life with one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, well, then you're doing terrible things to today.
Right. Very good.
Okay.
Very
okay. Good. You can fill in the blanks. And, you know, Eckhart Tolle wrote a great book called The Power of Now, you know, and being in the moment.
Right.
And I'm not perfect at that. I'm not very good at that yet, but I'm a heck of a lot better than I was years ago. So there's a whole long answer to his performance anxiety.
Right.
Part of my brand.
You're listening to T.J. McCormick, and we're in the world of T.J. McCormick here on WVOX.
You son of a gun.
1460 on your AM
Brand Talk
dial.
Radio.
And by the way, If you had a similar experience or you're a little bit worried about an interview, give us a call here. I'm a psychologist.
I'm an alcoholic.
Now, I, you know, you're making me blush because I knew that about you. And yeah. I'm always very, it's like, it's my old, the old John Tantillo, yeah. like where I was in, you know, I was a Franciscan. So there was right? this like kind of sure. seal when somebody told you something,
right.
you weren't supposed to
of
let
course,
anybody know. So when you say this, yeah. You get me a little nervous. But oh. if you like to, but no, that's fine. Yeah. Just as long as you're saying it and I'm not blurting it out.
No, yeah.
You're, give us a call, 914-636-0110. We'd love to hear from you, 914-636-0110. And you don't only have to talk to me. You can also address your question to TJ McCormick, who is a grand brand himself and someone who I've learned a great deal from by his presence and just teaching me a few things of what to do and what not to do on air. And I had a I went blank. That's the way I did it.
Really?
It was a morning. That's when I first started radio. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because I didn't have the air conditioning on because I didn't want the air conditioning on to
interfere
with the phone call because I was and I started to sweat and the lights were on my head and it was a Jackie Gleason, a humming, a humming, a humming, you know. And but I got over that and it never really happened again. And in the beginning, you know, there would be a little bit of anxiety. But sure. So what we're trying to tell our listeners here is that there's nothing wrong with that. And the secret is to do the Sinatra song. Mm-hmm. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Absolutely.
And what we're going to do is we're going to go for a break. Right. And then after the break, we're going to get to the winner and loser.
Ah, yes.
And then we're going to get to the favorite part for our listeners. Did you know that? And more with TJ McCormick right after the break.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissieri. Economic growth will be a bit slower than last year. That's the forecast from the Federal Reserve.
Reflecting ongoing drags from the housing sector and still tight credit conditions for many households and smaller businesses.
Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, who adds he expects unemployment to fall to 8.2%. The Fed also not planning to raise interest rates until at least 2014. It sounds like a scene from a movie. Navy SEALs from the same unit that killed Osama bin Laden parachute into Somalia and rescue two people.
They took over the encampment where American Jessica Buchanan and a Danish man were being held hostage. They had the element of surprise, which was a good thing.
They were heavily armed and had explosives at the site.
Still, Pentagon spokesman George Little says the nine kidnappers put up a fight and all were killed.
Fox Radio's Mike Mackowitz, neither of the hostages nor any members of the SEAL team were hurt. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon. Skies will be partly to mostly cloudy. Highs will range into the middle 40s. Tonight mostly cloudy. Overnight lows falling close to 30. Generally cloudy. Some light rain developing Thursday afternoon. Highs into the lower 40s. Periods of rain at night. Lows into the upper 30s. Rain likely early Friday. Could see some sun in the afternoon with a slight chance of a shower, but mild. Highs will range lower 50s, partly sunny middle 40s on Saturday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
43 degrees in New Rochelle.
This is the last locally owned and locally operated independent community station in the New York metro area. Your own WVOX, the local station with a national reputation. WVOX Worldwide, AM 1460 and WVOX.com.
Oh, you are back. back, and you're listening to Brand Talk with Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick of LA Talk Radio and Fox News and Fox News Live and CNN. This guy gets around, and he's a comedian or comic extraordinaire, a brand that stands the test of time and all of that. So anyway, we're here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Love to hear from you. 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And we've been having such a good time. This is what happens when I'm with you.
Yeah.
We have such, and you tell, I mean, that was such a great revealing story about what you, you know, what you went through.
Yeah.
And I think that the takeaway from anybody that was listening to you is that these things can happen because we're humans.
Yeah.
And the secret is to just dust yourself off
and
start all over again.
And easier said than done, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Ugh. Absolutely. Absolutely. You but know? Let's, hey, we're humans. There are going to be days that you're going to be feel like you're on top of the world.
Right.
And you're gonna, there are going to be days you're going to be a little bit blue.
Yeah.
And they're really, and you know, we, you got to get somebody that's saying, snap out of it. Tantillo. McCormick. Snap out of it. You know? You know? What are you worried about?
Yeah.
Just as the kids would say, as Nike would say, just do it.
Yeah.
But what I want to do, and I have you here. I like you to react to it.
Yes.
My winner and loser this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
And you know what, by the way? Just so you know, we have a couple of people tuning in. We have Curtis Marsh and John H. Harris.
Oh my God. Two great brands. Two great brands.
Yes.
I mean, Curtis Marsh was always a great supporter of ours when we were at Strategy Room, right?
Yep.
And John Harris.
John H. Harris, who we finally met in person a few months ago.
Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah.
And, I really do miss that Strategy Room. Wasn't that fun?
That was great.
That was really, really, and that was a great place for a guy like me first starting out to get your fingers, you know, wet.
And myself as well, doing political panels and current events and stuff. That was, it helped me cut my teeth as well.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
And the relationship between the audience.
Yeah.
And that those panelists, it was just no matter who they had on,
right.
It was a wonderful environment.
It gave you a real appreciation. Hence, you and me. Now here we go. We realize that those two fellas are listening, and it means something to us. And we tell everybody, hey, John Harris and Curtis Marshall, listening, because that's something that we picked up from that Strategy Room was just how much there could be a personal relationship with that big, huge audience.
Well, you know, you see, and that's really the difference. By the way, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460. On your AM dial, you're listening to TJ McCormick and John Tantillo talk about brands and all things marketing today. And the difference between television and the internet is that connection. They haven't really gotten that.
Right.
And the beauty of the Strategy Room was that it was for all intents and purposes, it wasn't highly produced.
Right.
And for the listeners, what that means is it was very loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you would see people putting on their microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the people there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a great family.
It was. It was. Forgive me. I pulled this off. Go ahead. You were going to do your trademark
Hey, my thing is that my listeners are always more important than the script. Remember the script. What the script does is it gives a reason for the listeners to keep on listening.
Yeah,
because it's the material. But we got to worry about our listeners.
Well, go ahead.
But anyway,
please.
Now cut that out.
Now you cut that out. Rochester.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Yuck, yuck, yuck. All right. So what we do now is the winner and loser of the week. And what I do each week is I select two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals. And so without any further ado, we're going to talk about our winner. And our winner this week is Uncle Ben's. And you would know what Uncle Ben's converted rice. Well, Uncle Ben's. And let me tell you, and this is, you know, TJ,
Yes. This
is where advertising and branding is going. And when I, you know, when I was a kid, and even for when you were a guy.
Yes.
And I got some years on you.
Just a couple.
Well, thank you. You're so kind to me. I tell you. If you ran an ad, once. Mm-hmm. You could get, first of all, you could reach in a very popular show because there were only four networks, right?
Right.
You could get 40 million people to see an ad.
Right.
Today, that's all different.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we're in the internet age.
Yes.
We are in the gaming age,
mm-hmm.
where everything is interactive.
Yes.
So what you have to do if you're a brand,
is
to get audience or target market participation.
Right.
So now what did Uncle Ben's do? They decided to run a contest.
Okay.
Targeted to children between the ages of 6 to 12 years old.
Hmm.
So that they could, in fact, devise rice recipes.
Okay.
And the person with the kid with the best rice recipe would win a prize.
Okay.
Now, this is very, very good,
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting your target market involved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Secondly, it's going after a different target market.
Right, right.
I mean, a rice could be seen as an older person's staple, and what you're now trying to do is educate younger people
to
appreciate rice.
Get your brand
and
young.
That's right. Right.
Have a kid's go-to rice be Uncle Ben's. You got a customer for life.
There we go.
And may I interject this?
Absolutely.
I bet you they did some of their marketing research. Very interesting. There was one time when I was in Hollywood, I was attached to a kids cooking show. I was going to be the host of a magical kids cooking show. And, you know, everything came to life. The spoon would stir things. Whatever. It was one of the creators of The Family Guy, actually, had been pitching. So we would go and we took meetings at Disney and this and that. Interesting. This woman, she had done her research. She had two young daughters. She realized that her daughters were always watching the cooking shows. Do you know that one of the largest audiences of the Food Network and any cooking show are children between the ages, I think, of 3 and 6?
I did not know that.
It's true.
Right. That is. Really,
it's true.
Really
they are a huge demo when it comes to because look, it's creative. It gets their hand dirty. I have a 3-year-old. She loves to mess around in the kitchen.
Well,
it's fascinating.
Now
thing.
Thinking about it, when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I used to help my mother make the apple pie and dip my finger, I shouldn't say this, into the dough and do all of that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And so, you know, so it's interesting. I'm starting to see some of the method to the madness, if you would.
Right.
Where Uncle Ben's was going with this.
Yeah. Now, I did get a little bit of a criticism from a gal friend of mine who said, it should be brown rice. I said,
have you had brown rice?
Look, what can I tell you? You're listening to TJ. You're listening to TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, Brand Talk.
Rather,
it's WVOX 1460 on your AM dial.
Cardboard, John. Little pieces of tell your gal friend to boil up some cardboard the next time she wants some.
Alice will kill it. 914-636-0110. We would love to hear from you. 914-636-0110. Or if you are email inclined, that's doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And the other kind of winner, I would say, because she got her act together, is Dean there. What's her name? Paula Dean.
Ah.
Remember, she last week she came out with that diabetes scare, and now she responded very intelligently by giving alternative recipes.
Uh-huh.
So that's
that would have been a lot bigger. That would have been a lot bigger story if it wasn't for all the politics going on. I think if it wasn't for all the politics that is rightfully dominating the news, I think Paula Deen versus Anthony Bourdain and her condition, and I think it just would have been a much bigger story, because it was a very juicy story that was very heavy. I'm not making puns. I'm saying it's very, very
Wow. See, you're looking. See, you're just a political animal.
It's well. Yeah. I thought it was.
I don't belong to any organized party. I'm a Democrat. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. A Republican, Westchester here.
I just.
No,
only
kidding.
I thought it would have been. I'll tell you what, though. Anthony Bourdain is the last guy. I tell you, I put him on my loser list.
Right.
Because Anthony Bourdain, Mr. Hipster Chef, who's criticizing her for her fatty recipes and sugary recipes and saying how dangerous she is because of said recipes, this guy on his show, his trademark is smoking. He walks around
so
on camera.
Yeah, so salted.
Yeah, exactly. And so you know what? He can put up or shut up as far as I'm concerned. But that was an angle to the Paula Deen story that I found a little hypocritical.
Yeah, well, that's great. You're listening to Brand Talk. That's TJ McCormick. Hello. The one with the beautiful voice and the one with the vowel-y voice, it's John Tantillo. And together we do Brand Talk today.
Yeah.
On WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. So with this, the yin and the yang, we have a winner, we have to have a loser. Mm. And, you know, some people, are going to say, Tantillo, get off this case. You always talk about it every year. And it's Super Bowl ads. I just don't get these Super Bowl, why everyone screams, yells, and carries on about Super Bowl ads. I mean, let me tell you this way. You're listening to Brand Talk. John Tantillo, TJ McCormick. Give us a call, 914-636-0110. Super Bowl ads. Advertisers all during the year, convince their clients that it takes 10 to 15 times for somebody to see an ad for it to work.
Right.
However,
except
on Super Bowl Sunday,
you
don't even have to see it,
right,
and you're going to get sales.
Right.
So you must do a media buy.
Yeah.
Because of all, if I hear this term one more time, eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
And so just because there are so many eyeballs,
right,
they're only looking at half the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because in advertising,
right,
when you talk about effectiveness of an ad, you not only have to talk about the audience or the eyeballs,
right,
you have to talk about the frequency.
Mm.
How many times the eyeballs see the ad,
right,
for them to make a response, do a purchase.
And at $1 million a pop.
Are you sitting 3.8.
3.8, well, I'm out.
Looks
like I'm out.
Now, look, if you're Budweiser, okay. I can understand.
Sure.
If you're Frito-Lay,
right,
okay.
Yeah.
That's very, very consistent with what the activities that you're performing at the Super Bowl. People are eating, they're drinking, they're snacking.
Yeah.
That's Coca-Cola.
Right.
That makes sense. But if you're let's say a $50 million company.
Right.
And your budget is $5 million.
Right.
You will have to be, my point is you would never use your $5 million on a Super Bowl.
Now, would you say that there's the potential? And by the way, we have another dear friend of mine listening. Samantha Ho is listening. Samantha,
Hi, Samantha. A
lovely, lovely dancer with her own business and brand in the Pittsburgh area. Would you say that there's ever a shot at lightning in a bottle? Is there ever, I seem to remember here's the answer. I believe there's been a couple of lightning in a bottle moments on the Super Bowl, but here I am sitting here. I can't remember.
Thank you.
I can't. There you go. Proof. There you go.
But you see, and then the question becomes, the more creative the ad.
Yeah, right.
The more you remember the ad, but you don't remember the name of the product.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, the next day they do the postmortem in the newspapers. Everybody's favorite. Everybody top 10. I go, oh, I remember the commercial. Oh, that was for E-Trade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, that was for Doritos? Oh, I didn't even realize that.
That's right. So the reason I brought it up is I got last week out of the blue.
Mm.
And that's what's great about the internet, or bad about the internet, that you write something and it keeps coming back. It's like a bad penny. And I got a call from somebody from the Chicago Tribune talking about, why do you think that Super Bowl advertising mm-hmm. is a waste of money.
Right.
And I said, show me the data.
Right.
Nobody can show me data.
Right.
And no one wants to show me the data
right.
because it's a big party.
It's the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to tell you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll have to tell you a story. I'm not going to tell it to you right now. It's a little too sensitive. But,
okay.
I mean, I think I got in a little bit of trouble because on air I talked about it a little too much.
That's happened to you a couple of times.
Yeah. You're going to get a crack. Are you sure you want to come back?
Sister Francine Paula? What was
Francis
it?
Paula.
Francis Paula?
You're listening to TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, VOX, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Brand Talk.
Dominus Obiscum.
Ecum Spiritu Tuo, Oremus. See, you didn't think that I was going to come up with that. 914-636-0110 is the number, or if you're email inclined, brandtalkradio.com, where I am manning the stations. But I tell you, time is flying, and time always flies when you're having fun. And we're at that time where we want to talk about, did you know that, where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and entertainment. And so, here it is. Did you know that?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? A superstar in his own time and a literary legend today, Mark Twain personified the inventive spirit of the 19th century. Known as the father of American literature, this mustachioed genius in the white suit brought Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer to life. He was the confidant of U.S. presidents and European royalty. But he had another side, and I guarantee that you will be surprised at what you owe to Mr. Twain. You see, Mark Twain was a lover of science. He spent hours in Tesla's lab, but it was on his own that Twain devised the two inventions that affected tens of millions of lives. A collector of articles and photos, Twain wanted an easier way to store and view his collection. Then one day he had an idea, the self-pasting scrapbook. But his second invention had an even greater impact, one that Twain himself never intended. You see, Twain was convinced that there was a better way to hold up pants than suspenders. So he invented an ingenious elastic strap with clip and patented it. The invention was never used for pants, but it was used for brassieres, even to this day. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
And so, did you know that?
I understand that there's that. Don't we have the Sansa belt pants? Remember that from the 60s and 70s? Sansa belt?
Yeah. Well,
which, by the way, it took me forever to get the Latin without a belt, sans.
Very good.
It took me till like I was 30 years old. All of a sudden, one day, I'm driving down the highway. And, oh, sans, a belt.
Sans.
I thought it was some.
As opposed to sans serif, means without serif.
Without serif. What do you do? By the way, we got to say hi to another loyal listener and friend of ours and viewer, a guy named Mark Milosevic from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, Mark,
the
of
lovely
course.
Mark Milosevic.
Mark has been emailing me mm-hmm. with his progress concerning his career.
Yes.
Yes.
He's been taking some leaps. He's been taking charge of his life and moving forward career-wise. And I'm really proud of him because he has a new baby, a couple of years old, and all this stuff.
Oh, well, you know, I mentioned Mark's story on air, so I'm not telling any stories out of school.
Right.
And, you know, he's sent me this beautiful email thanking me because we had gone to Patsy's one night.
Mm-hmm.
He and his mother and
Cynthia
and Cynthia mm-hmm. and our husband and And we have wonderful, and he was a little down. Mm. And I said, you're going to get your snot, your act together.
You're going to act like a man.
I didn't quite say it that way.
That's the quote,
but
though.
But the thing was, you know, what's your brand?
Right.
You know, and he did it.
He's been in this really, pursuit really for about for a little more than a year now in terms of really rubber hitting the road. And boy, I tell you what, man. See, Mark Milosevic is an example of what gets this country going again. Not government handouts. Uh-oh. Oh, here comes the righty.
Oh,
here it comes.
Well, here we
He's
go.
He's winding up that right hook. Here it comes.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, you know what? Put it this way. Every reason why Mark Milosevic is on his feet has nothing to do with what President Obama talked about ad nauseum last night. Not government programs. This was about bootstrapping, self-starting, and going and believing in yourself and going for it, being an American.
This is the TJ McCormick Hour. And address all correspondents to TJ McCormick.
The views expressed by the guests are not necessarily those of the marketing doctor.
You're listening to Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm so happy to have with me today comedian extraordinaire TJ McCormick. You can listen to him Sunday nights. What time?
Sunday night, whenever you want. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock
p.m. Eastern, yes.
On LA Talk Radio.
LATalkRadio.com.
And how
yeah.
do we get that?
You go to LATalkRadio.com, and it's right there. Oh, you can get, they got apps everywhere. You got an app for Android phones. You have apps for iPhone and iPad, as well as you can go to several different other places, TuneInRadio.com. There's a bunch of outlets to find a streaming radio now.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Curtis and Mark would like to give us a call at 914-636-0110.
I have Mark Twain to thank for all that frustration when I was 18.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm just saying. Hey, you're talking to a former Franciscan monk. And now you're getting it. We're talking about brassieres on air.
You brought it up.
Well, no. Now cut that out.
Any chance
This is about marketing.
Yeah.
About marketing now, and you're bringing it along.
But okay.
But anyway.
Yes.
Can we proceed? All right. So, what about, you know, I was thinking of this, and I mentioned it. I did a flyby this concept, and it gets me. It really annoys me.
Okay.
I hate the term pop culture.
Interesting.
I hate it. I think it's so
really.
It's too snooty.
Mm.
I think it should be considered culture and high culture.
Hmm.
Okay, because culture is everything.
Right.
It's not guys in black tuxedos with tails,
right.
With white, with white wing ties.
Yeah.
You know,
full dress.
It's not that.
Uh-huh.
It's Madonna is part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z is part of the culture,
mm-hmm.
and I think a better designation and one that isn't too snooty would be, I would say, culture and high culture.
That's interesting.
And I, since
you think high culture doesn't sound snooty?
Well, it's
but it
better
deserves
than,
its own designation.
Yes,
I see.
I see. I would like to expand the concept of culture, and by saying it's pop culture,
right.
it means
sort of
that
cheapens it a little
it
bit.
It cheapens
too.
It. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, how could I ever listen to Madonna?
How droll.
How droll. Yes.
How gauche.
How pedestrian.
How pedestrian.
There is a famous former TV critic that I'm not, and I'm not going to say his name.
All right.
But I had met him on the street, and I had asked him why he was no longer, doing movie reviews.
Right.
And he said, well, listen, I just want to say that I think that there's got to be more in life than eating pot roast and meatloaf.
Oh,
and I can't do radio interviews anymore. And if you think I'm going out to the Johnny Carson show at that time, I am not doing it. You know who I'm talking about.
Now,
So it was just very, very funny
Gosh.
I mean, it's that kind of arrogance that I think we have to be much more open to all sorts of like for example, I think food is part of our culture too.
Sure.
And I have a friend of mine who's very, very refined. He's gone to every Broadway show. You met him, Big Frank.
I knew that's who you were talking about.
You take him to a you take him to a French restaurant, and he wants hamburgers. He wants meat and potatoes.
Wow.
He just cannot appreciate that kind of, you know.
Isn't
and he's a very refined guy.
Right.
It's just that part, and that's where it came from.
Isn't that
in terms of the of this guy, this idea of culture, and you're listening to Tantillo, John, and TJ McCormick on Brand Talk, WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And what do you guys and gals think about culture and high culture? Give us a call in these last few minutes at 914-636-0110. And so, you know, that is what I kind of gets me going.
Yeah.
I, this is another thing. Many years ago, when I used to teach, my whole idea was what you wanted to do is you wanted to do whatever it took to get your students to appreciate something cultural.
Gotcha.
And so the big thing at one point was to put, I don't know if you remember, you go to the opera and the libretto was on the screen to the right of the stage.
Okay.
And all the geniuses, oh, how gauche. Having the libretto to the right is—it's just, you know.
And I'm sorry, listen, for the idiot in the room who thinks I'm cultured, I take it the libretto is the words.
The words.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, you knew that.
I didn't know it. John, I swear to God, I didn't know.
Well, it's the story.
I mean, I figured it out.
But the point is, what you want to do.
Right.
Is you want to get people to read.
Right.
Okay?
You want people to introduce.
And especially students who are new to, and as a teacher, that's what you really have to do.
Yeah.
So, last few minutes.
Yeah.
Last 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be next?
You know what? It'll be this Friday morning. Friday morning, I'll be on FoxNews.com Live. And then I believe Friday afternoon, I'll be on Willis Report on the Fox Business Network. Sunday night with TJ McCormick.
See you next week. Tantillo signing off.
Generating enough heat to keep you warm all winter.
Are we hot?
AM 1460, WVOX, New Rochelle, and WV.